there's a song that came out maybe a year ago. It's on the radio a lot. See it all over the place. It's by Pink. It's called Perfect. And the chorus begins like this. Pretty, pretty please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're less than perfect. Don't you ever feel like you're less than perfect. Now, to be fair to Pink, if she means that there are people who put other people down and reject other people and try and make other people feel ashamed for silly reasons that we should ignore, then Pink is right. But I think to try to convince people that they're perfect is an unhelpful solution to that problem. It is what we want to hear. You're right, you're good, any problems you have are everyone else's fault. Unfortunately, what we don't want to hear is maybe more the biblical message that sometimes we are, and oftentimes we are wrong, and we need to turn to God. That was Jesus' message. He went around saying things like, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means to turn from one way of life, to recognize that one way of life is wrong, and to turn to God. The kingdom of God is at hand and available to you. Turn to it. I think that is the call to begin the Christian life, to turn towards God in the first place. But it's a call that also continues as we live the Christian life. That we see things in our lives that are unhelpful, and we need to turn to God and have those things weeded out of us a little bit at a time. It's a lifelong process. Part of the reality, of discipleship and listening to God is that listening to God is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge how we think. It's going to challenge the things we do. It's going to challenge the things we assume. Listening to God will challenge us. This morning I want to talk about how the Scriptures, which we've been talking about for the last number of weeks, how the Scriptures challenge us, how they challenge our culture, and then we're going to get into some practical tips for listening to the Scriptures in a way that we're allowing God to challenge us. First, the Scriptures should challenge us individually. Verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy, all Scripture, and I'm translating this, this is translation according to the NIV, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for four things, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I think Paul is saying that the Scriptures are useful for two kinds of change. All of these imply change. Two kinds. They're useful for growth change, and they're useful for repentance change. Now, growth change, I think we see in those phrases, all Scripture is useful for teaching, and for training in righteousness. Those imply that we're changing through growth. And growth change is morally neutral. It's maturing. It's growing up. Like going from being a baby to being an adult. There's nothing wrong or morally wrong about being a baby. We simply grow. Correct, right? And growth change is something that most people accept. That we need to grow. That we need to mature throughout our lives. But Paul also talks about a repentance kind of change. Scripture is also useful for reproof and for correction. And repentance change is saying that sometimes we don't just need to grow, that we need to actively change from something we're doing or a way we're living or thinking that is wrong to something that is right. Repentance change, we fight back against. We don't like to be told that we're wrong or that something in our life is wrong. All kinds of change has some kind of pain. Growth change has growing pains. But repentance change is more the pains of surgery, of having someone enter inside of you to take out what is unhelpful and wrong and replace it with something that is good. Both changes, types of change are necessary. And Paul gives the reason why. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training for righteousness. So that, this is verse 17, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient or thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need both kinds of changes if we want to be equipped to do the good things, to live the good life that God is calling us to and God created us for. Paul says that all of these purposes of Scripture are necessary for God's purpose. And that means that if the Scriptures are going to be as useful as God intends them to be, we need to allow them to challenge us. For reproof, to point out when we're wrong, and for correction, to put us back onto the right path. Why do we need reproof and correction? I think it's because we live in a world where evil and sin are realities. None of us have been unaffected by these things. All of us are participators. We saw that in Isaiah 64, that message, all have turned away, none have sought you. Paul, in Romans 3, he gives us a list of Old Testament passages that makes this point, that none of us are free from sin in ourselves. And then he concludes by saying that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy, who's trying to lead a young church. Timothy is trying to lead people into the life that they were created to live, into relationship with God, into the gospel life, into a life of reflecting Christ to the world. And Paul knows, and he wants Timothy to know, that sin keeps us from that life. Sin hinders our relationship with God. Sin gets in the way of our living the gospel kingdom life. It keeps us from being equipped for every good work. And he tells Timothy that God has given him the Scriptures as an aid in that process to challenge those things in our lives that keep us from God and that keep us from living this life. The Scriptures give us a vision of God, a vision of who we were created to be, a vision of what it means to live the kingdom life. We need to ask ourselves, are we exactly living the kingdom life perfectly? Are you exactly who you were created to be? Are you just like Christ? Well, for me, the answers are no, no, and heavens no, I'm not. And if that's the case, then the Scriptures should challenge us. If they're giving us this vision of who Christ is, and we are not like that, they're going to challenge us. Instead of bristling then, when the Scriptures point to something in our lives that is wrong, we can see that as an opportunity for growth, for transformation, for becoming more like Christ, for being thoroughly equipped for this work. It's about how we approach challenge. Do we see it as a threat? Or do we see it as an opportunity when God is challenging us to become something better, more like Christ? If the Scriptures are not challenging you, if they're not helping you to see areas of your life that are wrong, if they're not showing you a new and different way by the Spirit, then you're missing something in the Scriptures, and you're missing part of your faith. You're missing the opportunity to grow and be transformed, and to have God replace who you are with something even better that He has to give you. The Scriptures should challenge us. The Scriptures will also challenge our culture. In chapter 4, he urges Timothy. He says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you." Now that's quite a build-up to a point, isn't it? He says, "I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message." Or in other translations, very simply, preach the word. And I think Paul emphasizes this, and I'm confident he emphasizes this because he knows that there are lots of cultural forces that tempt us to compromise the word, that tempt us to soft pedal the challenges of the Scriptures. In chapter 3, he's talked about how all around us, listen to this picture of the culture. He says, all around us, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, haters of God, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he goes on and on. And in this section, right after he says, preach the word, he talks about the culture around him, the context. He says, for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, and that phrase, you know, we want to scratch those itches, right? He says, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, teachers who will not challenge them. Teachers who will not say something in your thinking or in your life may be wrong. He says that's what people will accumulate for themselves. People who will never challenge them and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths, to lies. This is the reality of the place that we live, the world in which we live. And our question is, are we going to just accumulate for ourselves people who tell us what we want to hear? Everything's okay, you're perfect, don't worry, everyone else is the problem? Or are we going to allow the scriptures to challenge us and challenge our culture? The scriptures should challenge our culture if this is actually God's word. Is our culture the equivalent of the kingdom of God, do you think? Do you imagine it to be? That the kingdom of God and our culture are the same thing? I hope not. And so, when the scriptures come into contact with our culture, there is going to be friction. There is going to be challenge. There are going to be times where the scriptures are different than our culture, and there are going to be times where the scriptures seem downright offensive to some of the assumptions and beliefs and practices that we hold dear in our culture. And the question that we have to answer, the contrast that we have to ask whether we're living by this is, are we going to look at our culture, or I'm sorry, look at the scriptures through our cultural lenses? Let the culture tell us what is good and right and acceptable, and then judge the scriptures based on that? Or are we going to look at the culture through our scripture lenses and let the scriptures tell us what is good and acceptable and right? And then interact with our culture on that basis. He tells Timothy to preach the word, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, whether people like it, like you for it, or whether they don't like you for it. And at the end, he says, as for you, always be sober, endure suffering. Why does Paul say, tell Timothy and encourage Timothy to endure suffering? I think it's because he knows that if we are living this kingdom life, if we are listening to God and allowing God to challenge and transform us, that we are swimming upstream against the current, then and now. As the scriptures challenge us and transform us and we live this different life, we actually become the challenge to the culture. And it shouldn't be in a mean way or a chiding or nagging way, but just how we live our lives. And if we are proclaiming the word patiently and gently, as he says, we are going to be a challenge to the culture around us. Some people will receive that and say, I want to live that life, and some people will not. He says, endure suffering. Endure the effects of swimming against the current of the culture. Scripture should challenge us. The scriptures will challenge our culture. So, practically, how do we then allow the scriptures to challenge us? How do we listen to the scriptures in a way that we're listening for challenge? Three practical tips. First, read slowly and read multiple times when you open up your Bibles. When you open up your Bibles, expect that they are going to challenge you, and read carefully and slowly and multiple times. We don't usually read that way. We usually read through quickly so we can accumulate information in our minds. But when we read quickly, what happens is that we're letting our own assumptions and presuppositions and categories determine how we read the scriptures. Instead of reading slowly and carefully and allowing the scriptures to penetrate into our souls and our minds and our hearts. So when you read the scriptures, read slowly, read multiple times. There's no rush to move on. Let them challenge you. Get into your life. Engage them with your mind and your heart, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. So that's the first tip. The second tip is, as you read, as you listen to the scriptures, practice confession. Practice confession as part of your scripture reading. We do this a lot in our services. Today we don't have a printed confession, prayer of confession. But when we do, oftentimes it's connected to the message we're learning about. If we're reading, love the Lord, Jesus said to them, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oftentimes our confession is, Lord, forgive us for the ways we haven't loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength, or loved our neighbor as ourselves. As you're reading the scriptures, let them challenge you and practice that confession. How am I not living this message out? In this case, if it preached the word, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, as I read that as a pastor this week, I'm asking myself, am I doing that? Are there times that I've backed down because the time was unfavorable instead of boldly proclaiming the word? And I confess when I've done that. So as you read the scriptures, as you listen to God's word through the scriptures, practice confession right alongside that. It's not confession to feel bad about yourself. It's confession because you want God to come in and change you and restore you and allow you to live that different way. Third tip. What is the third tip? Oh, yeah, okay. Psalm 139. There's two verses at the end of Psalm 139 that I found really helpful in allowing myself to be challenged by God. At the end of Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Worth memorizing and using as you read the scriptures. It's an invitation to God to challenge you. You're saying, God, you know my mind, you know my heart. Just look at me and see, tell me if there's something in my life that isn't the way you want it to be, that doesn't reflect you. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the path that is wise and good and reflecting your glory to the world. So I found that those two verses to be a really helpful prayer when asking God to challenge you and to open up our own hearts for challenge. I read this proverb a couple weeks ago. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. It's not me. It's in the Bible. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction, whoever hates challenge, is stupid. It's blunt. But why? I think it's because if we are not willing to be corrected or challenged, we are missing out on an opportunity to experience God's grace, to receive God's greater gifts, to live out the gospel calling. Now, there is a big part of me that hates correction. It's the pride part of me. It's the insecure part of me. It's the part of me that harbors shame and is afraid of people seeing the things that I know go on in my heart and in my life. And that part of me hates correction and hates to be challenged, whether it's by the scriptures or whether it's by other people. One of the things that I am continually brought back to is that when we are challenged, we are not challenged by a God who wants to bring us down and tear us down. We're not challenged by a God who wants to make us feel ashamed or guilty. We're challenged by a God who loves us, who has proven it by being willing to wipe our slate clear of all those things we need to be corrected of, who says, I am your father, I am the potter, who wants to form you into something beautiful and wonderful. When we are challenged, it's our opportunity to put ourselves into the potter's hands, to enter into the Father's arms. And I'm continually learning, slowly, I think, but hopefully surely, that if we are willing to push through those initial emotions and reactions that come up when we're challenged, on the other side of those emotions and reactions is wisdom, is grace, is life. The life that God has created us to live. So as we listen to God, as individuals, as a congregation, let's listen for the ways that He's challenging us. Let's accept His challenges. And let's join in the ways that the Spirit is transforming us and changing us into a brighter and more clear reflection of who He is. Let's pray. Loving God, help us to trust You to the point that we are willing to be vulnerable with You. That we are willing to hear Your reproof and Your correction and know that it comes from Your heart that only intends good for us. Help us to hear challenge from other people as well. And whether they are doing it out of love or anything else, I pray that we would find Your voice in there and the ways that You are speaking into our hearts. Refine us, Lord. Refine us as silver by the fire. Heat our impurities to the top and clear them off so that we might be pure, refined silver that reflects Your face to the world. Amen.